Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. Another wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. This is the day that the Lord our God has made, and I love it. I love His will. I love His word. I love His ways. I love His people. These are the kind of decisions that I had to make to live in God's will. Now, I wanted my life to live in worship, but in the days that I made these decisions, I didn't think about it that way. But I just wanted my life to be what Jesus taught. I wanted my life to be no different than the way Jesus taught life should be. And I wanted my life to mean something. I did a lot of things that I regret, and you can't go back in time and redo it. You know, you made a judgment based on your amount of knowledge, your age, your immaturity, or your maturity. You know, I made some pretty immature decisions. And I told my children everything looks good from a certain point of view. And so, we all had a taste of the world. We all made decisions that were worldly, you know. And I regret all of them. I don't like them. I don't like doing something that gives any form of honor to Satan. I hate what Satan became. He should have stayed an angel. God did a good job in His creation. And I know God did a good job with him because he's very smart, you know. You know, I told my wife today, when you're fighting demons, you're fighting, all right, you get the best doctors and surgeons on the planet. Well, they're smarter than they are. And you get the best physicists on the planet, well, they're smarter than them too. They know, they understand knowledge and information. They may be crazy like Goliath was, but they were also smart. And, you know, remember in Genesis chapter 6, you know, I like for people to see things. Sometimes people read over things in the Word of God. They don't mean to, but, you know, judging from our standpoint, you know, how would you see it any other way? But watch the wording of Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord explains something here. And one thing about defeating your enemy, you need to understand some things about it and what angle they're coming from. Because if you don't think like them, it's hard to be ready for their attacks. Okay. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now this is problematic because these were not men, these were fallen angels. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always thrive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. It was so bad when the sons of God, which were angels, they saw the daughters of men that they were very fair, and they took them wives of all which they're trying to contaminate the gene pool so that Jesus Christ couldn't come for us. That's what they were doing. And I saw this a long time ago before I started listening to people that are saying the same thing, because I learned how Satan works. Then, now watch this. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then it says, after all that happened, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Also after that. That means, of course, looking at it from our position, that's saying before the flood and afterwards. Okay, because the giants is the ones that caused the flood in the first place. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bear children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. That's what you're fighting. Now, men of old, this is talking about before Adam. The earth was populated before Adam. You see, people have taught false narratives and people have swallowed the hook on that one. You know, people say, well, the earth, a lot of preachers, good, wonderful men of God, they say, well, the earth is only 6,000 years old and so is heaven. The Bible's not written that way. In fact, the only creation scripture in Genesis 1 is verse 1. Everything else is restoration. And then God made man in his own image. But he made him out of the dust of the earth, see? So the only real creation scripture is verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if God created it, why would it be all void and desolate? That, my friend, is because of war. We were restored. God made man. He restored the war-torn world and made man and gave him dominion over it. And the fourth commandment that he gave him was to subdue it. That's the first clue that he had a viable enemy out there. So when you connect the dots yourself, when you study the word and don't try to make the word say something that you believe, you can learn something. So people are full of soup. Some of their teachings is, the main part is that they believe on Jesus. That's good. That's real. You can live on it. You can build your life from that. Their understanding of eschatology and creation don't disqualify them from salvation. But sometimes people go along to get along, and they were taught wrong by people that they trusted. And so the enemy figured out how to get one over on us. He'll just teach the teacher, and then the teacher will teach the student, and the student will never question it. But I will, because the word of God is my teacher, and all the people that I love and trust. See, David said that in Psalm 91, not 90, not wrong. He said in Psalm, he said, well, the word said, he said, the word has made me wiser than my teacher. And that's the long psalm, you know. It was around 189, I think. But the verse, anyway. Well, see, the word of God made him wiser than his teacher. And that's how it's supposed to be, because Jesus said, he that believeth will do greater works than me. See, the next generation is supposed to supersede the previous in the kingdom of God. I spoke that in the last broadcast, how as people go forward in life, their lives escalate. They become greater and greater. But as time go on, people that love the world, their lives de-escalate and goes further south into more superstition, more evil. Even though they have hard evidence, they reject it because their hearts are harder. But when you study what God gives and look at the information as it is, God is he's trying to show us something without alerting the wicked to do more wickedness. So the word is worded a certain way to give information to those that love God and a puzzle to those that don't, to keep man from his ways. Because wickedness don't stop. It continues. It's like my buddy Reuben said in that writing, sin is always hostile. There's no easygoing sin. All sin is hostile and deadly. And people who sin as a way of life, they do it because they want to, and they do it of their own free will, and they won't repent. Or they hate it and they repent. But sin is always hostile. It's never nice. Why do you think God went through so much trouble to get rid of it? We look at it, well, this is just a mild pleasure. It'll go away. No harm, no foul. No. It hardens your heart. It gives you a wicked desire and resilience against God himself. As the generations go forward, the the generation after the worst gets worse. You know, from generation to generation, every generation that's given to darkness, their darkness becomes worse. Their heart is harder. See, the Lord knew what he was doing when he, in verse 4, he said, "And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, just like the ones of old," which caused problems back then, "men of renown." Now watch this. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." See, the influence of the giants on men, see, the giants being smarter, and Adam's descendants, his pure descendants, they were smart too. But the giants had, you know, they incited man's anger, lust, greed, and bloodlust. To the point, verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." You see that? That's why verse 2 exists. Same problem. All over again. It happened before God made Adam. And the earth was without form, void and desolate, and darkness on the face of the deep. That's why. It's the same problem. Just like the men of old, men of renown. They were smart, but they were evil. So, you take the smartest men on earth, and possibly, highly possibly, every demon that's been around since those days. See, when the giants die, their spirit remains and causes trouble on the earth. They're called evil spirits. So that's why they roam the earth. That's where they come from. If there were no giants, there would be no evil spirits except for fallen angels. Now, so Satan's horde is made up of fallen angels and these evil spirits, which are demons. So they brought man low. And the amount of fallen angels that helped Satan out was fewer in number, but they can do some damage. But the amount that's of the demon spirits, there is more of them. So we got a problem. And then a third of the angels fell with Satan. So there's plenty of evil forces to go around. But thanks be to Jesus, he gave us authority over all the power of the devil. Now, verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And so God was able to, Noah built the ark, and only 8 people were saved. What does that tell you? The rest of the world was corrupt. Now, I said earlier that as people of God, the descendants of those that love God. Now, first of all, every generation has to get saved. But the generations of those that love God, the wisest ones, the ones that take in information and use it. Some Christians, they just float around till they go on to be with the Lord. But some of them are aggressive about learning. And they learn accurate. And they don't let the world teach them. They let the anointing teach them. All right, the descendants of those that love God will be mighty in the earth, according to Psalms 112. So, those that listen, they raise people that listen, and God is going—they're going to be mighty on the earth because their parents love God, and sometimes the descendants of the godly parents, they receive salvation and they do a greater work than their parents. And sometimes the enemy launch a campaign against them and stall them out, and they don't love God the same. And sometimes they die prematurely because they dishonor their parents. But a lot of them go on and follow God and get to know God. So the generation, some people have more resilience against God than others. Some people desire the things of God. And their parents may have been wicked, but they want more. They don't want the life that their parents had. They want the life of the godly people. I know, and I've seen it many times. There are some people, they were born and their parents may have done wrong, in a wrong religion, believe wrong, but they love the ways of God and they sought the Lord out and they learned God's ways. Even though they were raised wrong, even though their parents took a turn, they broke through wanting better. Their parents may have been alcoholic, or one of their parents may have been alcoholic or on drugs, but they broke through and they wanted a better life. So I've seen it. One parent may have been on crack or they may have been selling drugs, but they broke through and they wanted a better life and they followed Jesus. And they broke through. They broke through the darkness of this world. So that's why it's very important to preach the gospel to every soul, because some people will love God and love to know Him, while others know of Him but don't really care. So those that select, just like in Isaiah chapter 8, some people, they go after the waters that go softly, like the living words of God. They realize that this is the treasure, and the things of the world is not the treasure. See, I love Isaiah chapter 8. There's a lot of wisdom in this chapter. And he said, verse 6, verse 5 says, "The Lord spake also to me again, saying, For as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloh that go softly, and rejoice in reason and Remaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river." See, the Lord always has a protocol for those that choose wickedness. See, verse 7 says, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He shall pass through Judah." He couldn't handle Judah yet. So he passed through Judah at that time. "He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves. Make agreements. And ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces." He said it three times. "Take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. All the plans that they come up with, they could not handle the king of Assyria. Take counsel together, it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, it shall not stand, for God is with us." See, the covenant will be fulfilled among those that love God and those that are in union, in a confederacy against the things of God. They're going to always fail. Even the king of Assyria, in the next chapter, it was exposed how he was brought to nothing. Chapter 10, I think it was. "For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread." That's the words of the prophet. But see, the prophet was also surrounded by people who wanted to bring about a confederacy to stop the looming war that Assyria was going to wage against them. But they never repented. See, when you go back and study the judges, right after Joshua died, whenever they got into idolatry And then things got tight, and they got and they were going to war. Then they cried out and asked the Lord for help. They repented. And then the Lord would raise up a judge, and then eventually that judge would die. The next generation would do the same thing. And then they'll go into idolatry, and then the Lord, the angel will ask them, why did you do this? God brought you out of Egypt. Why did you keep going back to evil? They kept going back to evil, but they would repent. And this went on and on and on and on and on. Then it got to Gilead's day. They were surrounded by Midianites. They were driven up into caves to live. God raised up Gideon. He tore down his father's idol. He won the war miraculously. And then that were those, the children of Ephraim, wanted to kill him because they didn't get any glory out of it. Then he said, well, you kill the kings of Zalmon and Oreb and Zeeb. Then they gave up. They wanted their pride. They got it. I explained in a few more broadcasts earlier that that's the beginning of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then it goes on. Then Jephthah come around. God raise up others. Raise up Samson. And see, by the time God raised up Samson, Israel surrendered. They didn't even ask God to help them. God did that because of his covenant with Abraham. They didn't even ask God for help anymore. In fact, they bound Samson in ropes and took him to the Philistines. He said, don't slay me yourself. He said, we won't kill you, but they tied him up. They didn't even pray and ask God to be with him. This is what I'm talking about. The generations degradate. If you think Hitler was bad and the World War II era soldiers were bad, everybody knows. Today's people are much worse than that. They know that that was evil. At least in Hitler's days, they went along with a lie under deception, and then they realized that they let a crooked man be their king, a satanic man be their king. But there are people now that agree with Hitler. Now, Jesus said when he died on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Talking about the Pharisees, all of his viper enemies. And they were like vipers. And they were deadly. They wanted him dead. They meant it, but they didn't know the depth of what they were doing. Now, Christian nations all over the world have raised up, and great prosperity has happened because people live to honor God. And sometimes even in the same house, you have people that hate righteousness, even though they saw the results of it. Even though when they get in trouble, they want somebody to help them that they trust. Even though they don't want their doctrine, they want their help. And they still don't love their doctrine. See, this generation, and God has to deal with this. You have people that pay preachers to lie. You have preachers that get paid to lie. And God has to deal with this. Then you got people that want the truth. And they go to church, and then they hear a compromised message, and their life don't work. And they say, what's the point? And people are representing God wrong. And people's loved ones are dying. And people are not repenting because they're getting bad information, because the teacher was duped, who taught their teacher, who taught their teacher. Just like I showed you in Genesis 1, the only creation scripture is Genesis 1 verse 1. Everything else is restoration. God made Adam in his own image. That had never been done before. And the angels are the sons of God too. But Adam was made in his own image. He had to grow from glory to glory. Now, I don't know the protocol of angels. I always assume that God just gave them knowledge at the point in time he made them. I don't know how that works. I don't know the greater, the detailed differences. But I do know this. If you side with evil, the generations that side with evil always get worse. And those that love God always become bolder and greater and more faithful. And those that are lukewarm, they're the worst people. They know better and do worse. They leave the light to play with the world. It's one thing not to know evil, but to reject the light. See, the judgment of God falls on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, they hold the truth. They understand it. But they do wrong anyway. And they live an unrighteous life. That's where the judgment hammer is going to fall the hardest. And judgment began in the house of God. In the people of God. So if judgment began at the house of God, where will the Son of Man appear? He's going to get it too. But they that knew better, and this generation know better, see, they can't say, you know, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. This generation knows better. They heard. They have better knowledge. Knowledge has increased. You can learn anything. You don't even have to go to school to learn now. In my downtime, in my recreation time, I surf the web and look at new technologies that people are making and inventing. Knowledge is increasing. When they come out with new cars, I can look at what people learn on YouTube, and I can, you know, you can, people that don't even fix cars can fix cars and lawnmowers and motorcycles and whatever else they want to do. So knowledge has increased, and people do travel to and fro all over the earth, just like the angel told Daniel. But what are you doing with the information? They that love God, they're like they want the waters of Shiloh that go softly, that make sense. They want things to do that's right. But see, when you want the rough waters, you want to live for the world, you know. He said, verse 6, this is Isaiah 8, verse 6 again. For as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. See, those are evil kings. Now that, and they love evil things. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong in many, even the king of Assyria. And he... And all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels, go over all his banks. And it goes on. Then they wanted a confederacy, verse 12. But watch verse 13. Isaiah says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. That's what he told the people that want a confederacy. Isaiah stood for something. See, in verse 12, they said, he told his friends, or his kinfolks of his community, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their free, nor be afraid. Even though the Lord's going to send an evil enemy to wipe them out and take them out of the land. Then he said this, verse 14. And this shall be for a sanctuary. Sanctify the Lord, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be a fear, let him be a dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But those that love God, he shall be for a sanctuary. You don't have to fear. Verse 15 says, and many among them shall stumble and fall, be broken, snared, and taken. Everybody that wouldn't listen to what the prophet said, and humble themselves and rejoice in the waters of Shiloh, which is the words of God, many among them shall stump everybody else that rejoiced in the evil kings. Many among them shall stumble, fall, be broken, snared, and taken. Now watch this. Then Isaiah said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. The Lord is talking to Isaiah. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob and will look for him. Then Isaiah said, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. See, God always has a remnant that will obey him no matter what happens, no matter what they see, no matter how they feel, no matter how they attack, no matter who is against them. They know God is for them, and they stand. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. See, that God always had people of testimony from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. And they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? You going to seek a dead man for your life? Are you kidding? No, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So everybody that loves evil, there's no light in them. Now watch what happens to people when there's no light in them. They shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. They can't figure it out. They can't see. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have no covenant. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, curse their king. They don't even cry out for help anymore. And their God, and look upward. This is the generation that will be judged. Now watch this. And they shall look to the earth, behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness, because darkness covers the earth, gross darkness to people. It's everywhere, and they'll be driven to it. People that love the world, they have no rest of themselves. They have no peace from God. And the enemy drive them to more and more degradation. So the Lord is going to do something, my friend, to get people's attention for one last time. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And his return is imminent. Be ready that, and don't be left here.